When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Not running your business on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cap pulled over your eyes. NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system, giving you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, budgeting, and more all in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increased their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 31,000 businesses already use NetSuite. This summer, NetSuite has a special financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/go. netsuite.com/go.
It is hugely match reaction, Merseyside derby, Everton 1, Liverpool 4. Everton absolutely levered by the Reds. I think a lot was expected, a lot was dreaded, and our worst fears came to manifest. The Reds singing rapper Beatty's name. Everton very much in a relegation battle. They are on the charge. Mark Moseley, Keith Tomlin, Matt Flusk joining me tonight. Matt, I'll come to you first. That's about as it gets, that, isn't it?
It is, and the worst thing is I can't think of a single Evertonian that didn't predict it, and I can't think of a single Evertonian that is surprised. And that result tonight, for me, it's not even a Merseyside derby loss. It's game eight. It's 8 games without a win. It's 2 points in 8 games, 2 points out of 24, and it's hard to know how we could go down from here, how we could get worse, because this is rock bottom.
Keith, how are you feeling immediately after that, mate?
I'm just done with them. I mean, I switched them out on the way back. I can't go back and watch another minute of that while Everton are in this state. It's horrible. Do you know what I mean? We give up so much of our lives, so much of our money for this football club. And for what is the point? What are we getting from it? We had an absolutely belting time before the game. It was a laugh. It was a proper laugh. But then you got to sit through 2 hours of that. It's horrible. I can't do it anymore. Just, I'm done with them.
And don't forget, of course, that you're not allowed to have a go at the effort or intensity of the players. That is not allowed, according to Rafael Benitez. After
I think
the
I said, come to me then. I was like, no, that's fine. Oh, no. Slack them up as much as you want tonight.
No. That was the rhetoric after the game on Sunday, wasn't it? But I think the lads have obviously hit the nail on the head in that I think what we saw tonight, every kick of it, every complaint I have about individual players, about tactics, about the manager, Everton as a club have asked for that 2 hours. We've begged for that to happen with our actions in the last, I mean, I was going to say 2 to 3 years, but you could go way beyond that as well. It's not the worst Everton I've ever known, because we all grew up watching this football team in the 90s, but this is currently the biggest waste of time that this football club has ever had, be it in terms of the board, the players that we refuse to replace, and we'll obviously go on to talk about one in particular that led to Liverpool's third goal tonight, the manager, who is a glorified interim, whether you think that it was a sensible, pragmatic appointment or not, it's not going to work. It was never going to work at the start, and at 60 minutes when Liverpool fans are smashing us at Goodison Park singing his name, it's not going to work then, and it's not going to work in a few weeks' time when we're still 13th or 14th in the Premier League going into another sorry year of Everton, and unfortunately that is just the reality, unless we want to create a major overhaul, a major change, and unless minor things like we've heard tonight happen where the board starts to get a little bit of stick, the manager clearly gets the stick that every football manager will be accustomed to, but we are so far off. This isn't about dropping you right back. This isn't about changing your manager and giving it dunk till the end of the season. It's way bigger and way more drastic than that.
Just sort of before we get onto big picture, Matt, which I imagine there's going to be a lot of it, on the game itself, you know, the atmosphere was great before kickoff, as Keith said, you know, people were out in the booze, just having a good time. Looking forward to the first Merseyside derby, in a way, a little bit oiled up after, you know, lockdown and all that kind of thing. But Everton got utterly levered in those first 10 minutes. And I know Liverpool scored after, I think it was about 15 in the end. I think they got the next one on about 20. But in those first 10 minutes, they could have been 4 or 5 nil down on its own.
Yeah, I don't even think it was as late as 15. They came flying out the traps. And I've been saying all week that every Merseyside derby since Jurgen Klopp took over Liverpool has turned into a brawl. He's told his players to go out, keep it tight, you know, get dirty tackles in, just shut down the game, get a point, 3 if you think you can get it. That wasn't the case tonight. He saw blood, he smelled blood, and he just sent them out there to play us off the park. And that's what they did from the first minute.
I mean, those first 20 minutes, Keith, you know, the atmosphere was up, tackles were being cheered, Everton doing anything positive was being cheered. But from Henderson's goal onwards, it was sort of inevitable, wasn't it? Like, even when we got that goal back, I think before our time, with Demarai Gray slot in, there's a bit of a rise. I don't really think anyone really thought that we were back in the game, we were capable of turning it round.
Let's be honest, mate, right? During those 10 minutes, even when we were making tackles and the crowd were cheering, we were chasing fucking shadows.
Yeah.
Right? First thing I noticed tonight was they're first to every single second ball. Right? Every single ball that came from a breakdown fell to a Liverpool player. And it's because they were hungrier and they wanted it more. And I mean, I don't even know where you start with that. That should be, in every derby, that should be 50-50. Even if you're making fouls because they've got to the ball first, but they didn't. They had time to get the ball down, bring the ball down and find a pass and pick us apart. And what is going on with an Everton team that don't want to win 50-50 challenges in a derby match?
It was painful watching Alan in there tonight, wasn't it? Because he is so sluggish and so slow. And I'd like the core, he's obviously not quite on it yet. And everyone pre-match said, we need three lads in there tonight against them, because they've got three midfielders, they've got a centre-forward that drops in, and we just got obliterated and outnumbered and outpassed and outfought in that area of the pitch all night tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you look at our midfield tonight, right? Doucouré's not close to 100% yet. He's back well before he should be because we're desperate. Alan is, yeah, he'll try his best. He'll put an effort in, but he runs like he's wearing fucking welding boots. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's so slow to the ball. And like you said, their strikers drop in, their fullbacks push into midfield. They outnumbered us in every area of the park tonight, and we just did not look like we were up for a battle. Do you know what? The only player I would say who looked like they were up for a scrap tonight, and I've been one of his biggest critics, is Rondon. Rondon went in for 50 until he went off injured. He threw himself into 50-50s. He at least chased down. He tried. He put a shift in. He wasn't great. He's not a great footballer, but he put a shift in. And like, sometimes in a derby match, that's the difference. But they had 11 shirts doing it. We had one or two. You're not going to win that.
Richmond. The ironic thing about Rondon doing that is I was probably the same as you, Keith, in that I could at least appreciate that the only thing that he had to offer was just the physical running. And yeah. I found myself watching him, and it took me back to when Calvert-Lewin first started in that position, and it was all very headless chicken, and it needed someone to just grab hold of him and say, stop.
He's 32.
No, that's it. Yeah, but it needed someone to get hold of Calvert-Lewin at that point and really focus his game. And Rondon's probably... He's playing to the criticism that has been launched in his way in the last 6 or 7 weeks, and the only thing that he could offer is endless running, which eventually leads to nothing. To go back to the point that Keith started with in terms of Liverpool winning second balls, and that is clearly down to tactical prowess that they and their manager has, and you know that is why they win countless numbers of major domestic and international trophies. But the sheer essence of a 50-50 ball and a 50-50 tackle is that in the most basic form of combat and that you've got an equal amount of players to do that. And Matt, as soon as the lineup was announced before the game, you looked at that screen where we saw it announced, and there was an enormous gulp about the fact that they were going to have three very good footballers to our two average ones. And I know I take a little bit off Abdoulaye Doucouré there, but as you mentioned, a half-arsed performance against Brentford is no comeback to coming into a Merseyside derby, and it just seemed really naive. And I think if you're going to do something like that against Liverpool, bear in mind that we saw Southampton try and do that against Liverpool a few weeks ago and they get their arses handed to them. If you're going to do that, you've got to be right up there in terms of form, right up there in terms of confidence, and you've got to play towards it in the game as well. You've got to be pretty direct and hope that your three in behind your central striker can pick up on those second balls. There didn't seem to be the game plan that matched the personnel and matched the formation that we'd gone out there with, and quite honestly it was just lambs to the slaughter at that point. And I know that Keith mentioned that they're obviously very prolific when they get into the right areas. They're not going to miss chances. Jordan Henderson, there's not many midfielders, there's not many holding midfielders in this league who, when the ball falls to them on their weak foot on the edge of the box, are aiming at just picking their spot in the net. And unfortunately, he is.
So much time, though.
He did. And Mo Salah, you could probably aim the same. Mo Salah's goal, yes, comes from incredibly clinical finishing, but it also comes from the fact that Everton, again, don't pick up a second ball in the middle of the park, and Jordan Henderson's given the freedom of Goodison to pick his pass. And if you allow world-class players, which to a man they pretty much all are, the time and space to pick their moves and pick their passes, they will punish you, and that's exactly what happened. And that was obviously the nature of the first two goals, and Damari Gray gets us back into it. And to be honest, the massive surprise with Damari Gray's goal for me was that it actually went in, because Alisson is absolutely not someone who gets beaten one-on-one. But the turning point in the game is clearly at the point where on the 55-60 minute mark, the dice is about to be rolled by Everton, and it kind of is doing so in terms of winning the corner. In typical Everton fashion, we waste the corner and hit the first man, and then the ball falls on the halfway line to a fella who quite clearly shouldn't be there, and he shouldn't have been there for this season. He shouldn't have been there for the last 3 or 4 seasons. And everything about Seamus Coleman, he is, unfortunately, he's the personification and the epitome of everything that is wrong with this football club at the moment, because we all know it. The board's probably looking at it,
isn't it, really?
It is, yeah. Absolutely. And do you know what? It's like owning a racehorse that wins the National twice and you refuse to put it out to pasture. And you endlessly run that thing into the ground until you hope one day that you might achieve the success that you've seen. And you bought that horse for pennies, and you're just constantly striving for it to be the glorified product that you made it years and years ago. The thing needs putting down. It's
let's be honest. When did Seamus Coleman win the National? Oh, well. Seamus Coleman came fourth in like the Betfred fucking challenge.
Seven winning the National.
I mean, I fully agree with Moz, right? This is on the board, it's on successive managers, in that 5 years we've known that he was coming to the end of his time as a top level fullback and needed replacing.
Keith, when he broke his leg, he got given a 5-year contract.
I mean, that was a sympathy thing, wasn't it? It was like, I'm sorry, Euphibia's in like 12 pieces. Here's some money, basically, right? We've needed to replace him for years and haven't done. And that's on the board, that's on the director of football, that's on the managers. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 have known that he needs replacing. And the only right back we've brought in the last 5 years is fucking Sidibe on loan. Who was...
Cougar Martinez. Never get Cougar Martinez, come on.
Right, don't get me started on Cougar Martinez. Cougar Martinez was money laundering for Ronald Koeman. Because you don't give a free agent a 3-year contract on 60 grand a week when he's that bad. Unless you're profiting from it.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I am making allegations here. But, yeah, he made money out of that, allegedly.
Matt.
Yeah.
You had a bit of sympathy for Coleman, you say.
Yeah,
before,
I'm sympathetic to Coleman because when that ball comes to him, it wasn't the greatest pass in the world. And let's face it, when the ball lands to him, yeah, you can say he's meant to belt it out. But at that point of the game, we're behind. We've just had a corner. The last thing Evertonians want to see is the guy who's standing there halfway back to just put it out for a throw-in. Like, they want him to try and recycle it back into the box. But, hang on, Moses, hang on. He's mid-30s, and he's next to the best player in the world.
Isn't that why he should boot it out, though?
Well, exactly. But the fact is, he's on the pitch because, as the gents have said, he hasn't been replaced. And I don't believe all this talk about that's the fault of the board as a broad brush thing. No. That is the fault of one man. That is the fault of the director of football, whose entire remit involves succession planning.
Directing football.
Yeah. He's the guy who's meant to see the big picture. He's meant to see several years down the line. He's the guy who sent every single one of our backup left backs away from the club, such that if Luca Dean gets injured, we're playing a centre half there. If Seamus Coleman gets injured, we're playing a centre half there.
I assume that they were both injured, having watched them for the last 6 weeks.
Exactly. Like, I don't believe this whole thing, this like rough thing about, oh, it's the board. Like, no. There's one board member, and that's his job title, and he gets paid a handsome sum to sort that out, and he hasn't sorted it out. He's looked at that little spreadsheet he's got of the squad and he said, yeah, that's fine. 34-year-old Seamus Coleman can run the whole right-back position by himself. That's just... And a guy who's still a full international and when he's fit, starts every game for Ireland as well. He's going to get injuries. He's going to miss games. So why the hell has Marcel Brands not at least got someone there? I mean, obviously, we talk about John Joe Kenny, but it's the worst kept secret in Everton that John Joe Kenny has been halfway out the door for the past 2 years. Like, he knows that Marcel Brands doesn't want him. He knows that whatever manager's in there at the moment doesn't want him. So, to all intents and purposes, we got one right back. And what happened on the third goal today was the inevitable consequence of that. And I just can't crucify Seamus Coleman over it, because that's exactly what you would expect a 34-year-old player to do in that situation.
He's ironically the one person who's not to blame about the Seamus Coleman issue.
Drop me phone there, sorry.
But it's bizarre that he is in the big picture that we constantly talk about, the problem, and he is the picture of the problem, but he himself is not to blame for that problem. And it's a mess that could only happen at Everton. And I think, as Matt said, Marcel Brands is going to come under increasing scrutiny, and this is only going to intensify as soon as the transfer window opens, and on the back of probably the most disappointing Everton transfer window in recent times, this one's probably the most anticipated, mainly because of what happened in the last window, which was nothing, but also the fact that this is bordering onto necessity as opposed to desire now. We absolutely need footballers. If you want to be in that way of thinking, we need to absolutely stay in this league. And the only point where it starts dissolving the blame that you put on Marcel Brands and him being the main culprit in terms of board members who are to blame for this is, to what degree is he being handcuffed and held back by other board members? And that is, it's the eternal question mark that hangs over the dynamic of everything about this football club. me and you were asked the question after the game of who is to blame for ruining this football club. From Rafael Benitez upwards, in every single position, I couldn't name you someone who is not to blame for this. And the only irony that all of us...
That's not an exaggeration, is it? It's literally everybody.
I honestly couldn't tell you, be it the manager, chief scout, director of football, owner,
CEO,
president, whatever he is, Bill Kenwright, I'm not overly sure, but every single person in there has to share this blame. And the problem is that there isn't this one defining character that we can all look at now and say, I want you to take control. I want your vision to be how this football club is taken forward. And the reason why we've all defended Marcel Brands to this point is that we all like the idea of Marcel Brands. The idea of having a director of football who is in charge of your personnel. He's in charge of your playing style. He's in charge even of the manager that comes in. We all love that European philosophy that Everton are ready to adopt. But we in classic Everton style, have managed to not only ruin that, but the investment that Farhad Moshiri has put into it. And I haven't simply got enough fingers to point in anyone's direction of blame anymore.
I'll stand up for Marcel Brands a wee bit here, in that, like, yeah, he's not been brilliant. He's not been, like, exemplary in what he's doing. But how much is he being allowed to do his job?
Yeah.
In that we all know he didn't want Benitez in the summer. Benitez was not his choice of manager, right? That was imposed on him. To a large degree, I don't believe, apart from Marco Silva, I don't believe any of the managers have been his choice, right? He's not done great. We have brought some sensible signings in across the board. We've not done brilliantly with signings, but we have brought some sensible, decent signings in across the board, which probably evens itself out against bad signings that we've made under his reign. And I think we're largely still hamstrung by years of incompetence before he came in, where Martinez and then Koeman and Walsh were allowed to spend money like for fucking fun.
And this is his fourth season though, Keith. He's been here, this is his fourth year in charge of Everton's directing of football.
It is, right? How many of those players were signed on 5-year contracts before he came in?
The problem is now, people talk about, I don't know why this is an acceptable thing at Everton, but we talk about Koeman players, Moshiri players, Walsh players, Brands players, Benitez players.
Should be Everton players.
Who the fuck is in charge of... There's absolutely no accountability, is there?
That should be his job. That is what,
every single player, unfortunately, whether it's cruel or not, if a player doesn't perform... The performance of every single Everton player that comes into this club in the last 4 years and going forward should fall on his head, because that is his job. That is his job to dictate. I get that dictating how the football team plays on a week-in, week-out basis is always going to fall into the manager's hands. Otherwise, there simply wouldn't be a football club manager. But the overall style, and in particular the personnel that represent this football team, that is his job. You can talk about him being the glorified scout. Well, that's what a scout's job is, and it kind of is his job at the moment, because it's
I don't even know if it is though. Like, how, what players has he signed for Everton in recent?
If Marcel Brands wasn't at Everton at the moment, would it look, would it feel, or would it be any different in any way?
What he does is, it's a bastardised version of the role, because he doesn't really seem to have autonomy over the players that come in. And I know what you're saying about the manager and the style and how managers always have different styles, but there's got to be some alignment there.
He chooses that.
But yeah. if you're a director of football at a football club and you're bringing in players, you've got to bring in players that suit a certain brand of football from a certain manager. And look at the managers we've had down the years. We've had Silva, we've had Allardyce, we've had Coombe, we've had Angelotti, and now we're on Benitez. You know,
it's a different kind of manager.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
How do you pick a player for manager when you know they're not going to be at Everton for longer than 18 months?
That's the problem with Rafael Benitez. He's a glorified interim.
Yeah, Benitez will be gone. Benitez will last this season at the longest.
Yeah.
Right? He's not going to be here beyond next summer, surely. Right? This is where I have sympathy for brands, in that, like, it's not like a European club where you get given like a job remit to say, right, over the next 5 years, this is your head coach, you need to bring in players for this guy and make it work, right? Everton are sacking managers fucking hand over fist.
Why is it that way around? Why does the director of football have to make it work for the head coach? Why aren't they hiring a head coach to match the director of football's ideas?
Well, that's on Machini. Why is he brought in Benitez as...
Why is he brought in five different managers of different styles? It's scattergun, it's all over the place.
For me, the first point of blame lands at Machini.
Yeah.
Because since he's come in, he's overseen a disastrous reign of appointments. Not a single manager that's come in Machini's range has succeeded at Everton, right? The last successful season Everton had was the first season of Martinez. And that was the year before Machini came in.
Maybe the first year of Koeman.
No. finished seventh in a bang average league with a good squad.
With the best striker in the country.
The best striker who then got off. Right? Nah. Every single manager that's come in under Machini has failed, right? For me, Machini is the biggest fucking problem with Everton Football Club.
Yeah.
And it starts at the top, right? I'm not saying it's the only problem, because they are fucking, right, we are rotten to the core. Basically, if we were a ship, right, you could change the name, you could paint the outside, you could give us fancy sails. Every fucking year we will sink because the woodwork is rotten, right? That is Everton Football Club right now, right? How do you change that? How do you have a complete overhaul of a football club when it's rotten from top to bottom? I don't know. Like, genuinely, I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
It's got to come from Machini, hasn't it?
At some beyond.
Point. But will it come from him?
I mean, we've tried throwing money at it. It doesn't work. We've tried foreign appointments. We've tried domestic appointments. None of them have worked. What do you fucking do at this point beyond a massive fucking tank of petrol and a box of matches?
Just right? A tangent. Do you know who's come out of this very well? Stan Kroenke. Because for years, Machiri and Usmanov wanted a say in how Arsenal was run, and he was like, no. And all the Arsenal fans were kicking off like, no, don't be ridiculous, let them in. And eventually he saw them off.
And I'm like, actually.
Yeah?
maybe you want to fancy a bit of that anymore.
I mean, Arsenal have been a basket case for a couple of years now, but could you imagine if Machiri's got his hands on them? Jesus.
Fuck me, it's bad when we're fucking when we're looking at Arsenal with fucking jealous eyes. This is a terrible state of affairs.
I honestly,
at this point, I don't even know what you do.
Give it cranky till the end of the season.
Right? I genuinely think at this stage, right, we've got, 6 weeks until the transfer window? Less. 4 weeks.
That, yeah.
Four weeks to the transfer window. In that period, we've got, six games, right? Against decent teams and good teams in this league, right?
We got Newcastle.
To turn Everton's season around, if you're going to get anything successful out of this season, you sack him tonight. He's got to go.
Yeah.
Because he's not He is not going to get anything out of this club, right?
Never going to work.
It's not going to work. The fans didn't want him, but accepted him to a large degree, and it hasn't worked.
If you don't think a Rafa Benitez managed Everton is losing to Newcastle United on live broadcast television, you are not paying attention.
The first win of the season.
You are not paying attention.
Yeah. Let's be honest, right? It's fucking insipid. So you've got 4 weeks at this point, right? Sack him tonight. I hate to do the whole cringy or give it such and such, but
say give it done. Go on,
for the sake of a couple of weeks, put Ferguson in charge.
I didn't do it.
Look what happened after. Who did we sack last time when
Marco Silva?
It was Silva, wasn't it?
It was not 2 years ago.
It was Silva, fucking hell.
It wasn't even 2 years ago.
That was after the Derby Leveren as well.
Genuinely, right?
Literally less than 2 years ago.
Give him 4 weeks, right? Get through these games. Go for the whole fucking bottled thunder thing that he does. Because it's great fun.
And
right?
We need fucking points.
Right?
Points.
Get him to fucking hug a ball, seven boy.
Wins.
Get him to Please, hug a ball, wins. Boy. That'll do, right? For 4 weeks, and spend those 4 weeks fucking think long and hard, not about the next 6 months. I'm very sorry here, right? The table next to us in the pub are fucking howling at this, right? This absolute fucking post-mortem of Everton Football Club, right? Take those 4 weeks, right, while he's in charge and giving it the bottled thunder and the fucking hugging ball boys, wearing Howard Kendall's watch with his fucking sweaty wristband, right? Tell him to send videos to as many fucking haphazard school kids as possible, right? In those 4 weeks, spend those 4 weeks, right? Brands and Machiri and Kenwright and Baxendale and get yourselves in a Unsworth, fucking...
Don't forget Unsworth.
Get yourselves in a room and think seriously about what Everton Football Club need to do to improve over the next 5 years. Because I can't keep fucking doing this. Honestly, I'm going to die of a heart attack before I'm 40 years old watching this fucking club. Right? Because it is fucking painful. Figure out a direction for the future and fucking stick to it.
Oh my god, I didn't think I'd be in tears laughing moves after this, but
fuck off, I'm gonna need to talk after that. Oh my god. It's hard to really know where to go after so much of the last 3 hours. But Arsenal on Monday.
Oh my god, it's not even a
week.
Well,
I mean, just to finish up, the manager's going to be in a lot of focus, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's just not going to work, this is it.
No.
I mean, we all sort of pretend that it might work for a bit,
yeah.
And thought it might go all right, and, you know, tried to assume he was quite a good manager, but it's just not going to happen, is it?
No, unfortunately not. We spoke about this on the Kickabout in the week and said that this is essentially like watching your team get battered, ironically, as we talked about it tonight, after 25 minutes and you know that everything is going wrong and it would be nothing short of a miracle in order to turn it round, and you're afraid of making the brave and obvious decision to change things up so that it doesn't get any worse. And that is unfortunately where we're at. And It doesn't sit well with Everton fans sacking managers endlessly, and that might seem ridiculous to say after the last 3 or 4 years, but it still feels for me uncomfortable after having a tenure that we had under David Moyes that we still have this managerial merry-go-round. And I think we have endlessly, since Moyes left, crave someone who was able of coming in and creating a similar sort of length in terms of an actual meaningful dynasty at the football club. And if you honestly think that Rafael Benitez is going to be here for the next 4 to 5 seasons, then call me wrong and say that the man needs patience and the man needs time. But I will afford someone patience and time if, in my heart of hearts, I think that he is the individual who is capable of progressing this team not over the course of the next six games so that he saves his job going into the new year, but so that he progresses this team into what we still hope to be a European title contender in the next 6 years. We are constantly told on the online AGMs on a year-in, year-out basis that that is the MO of this football club. That is what we're aiming for, to get into Europe, compete at the highest level. Matt, me and you went to an AGM 2 years ago and we were told in person at the Philharmonic that we are here to win titles. Show me anything of the last 5 years that alludes at any point to the fact that we are able of matching that level of ambition. And it, do you know what, it's fine banging it up on a PowerPoint, but finding a man who is capable of coming in and running this football team from a managerial point of view. We've spoken so much already about, you know, the wider structure of the football club and the fact that we need someone here for the next 4 or 5 years to direct us in that path. Rafael Benitez. The most I've heard the man's name at Goodison Park in the last 6 weeks is when the Reds were singing it at me at the Park End on 50 Minutes Tonight. It's painful, it's tiring, it's not going to work, and it's ultimately just a waste of time for everyone involved.
Yep, completely agree. I made a joke when he was appointed that there would be, you know, ups and downs, couple of good results, many bad results, until he was summarily dismissed by mutual consent in November. We're now in December and he's still here, which is worrying for me. But, and that's the biggest problem of it for me, is that Rafa Benitez as Everton manager has been a running joke since the minute he was appointed. And that's not even because he managed Liverpool. It's because every job he's had since then has been a joke. Like, he took over Real Madrid, didn't do much. He took over an all-conquering Inter Milan side and ran them into the ground within 6 months. He took over at Newcastle, did all right. On the very, very shallow curve that is Newcastle United pre-takeover, he kept them up. But then Steve Bruce took over from him and did a better job. But was still hated because, you know, obviously Newcastle fans all drink Terps, so can't take their opinion. But from the moment he took over as our manager, we have been a laughingstock of the whole league. The whole league. And tonight is just the pinnacle of that. Like Mo said, their end, as everyone predicted, the moment he took over in the summer, before a ball was kicked in the season, their end singing his name as they're absolutely playing us off the park. Like, that was always going to be the case. And I've never been one for calling for a manager's head early, but I just figured after Sunday, after 7 games, 2 points, it was, you know, that was the moment to do it. To let him take charge of this match tonight with the inevitable results. I mean, if he'd been sacked and Duncan Ferguson was in charge and we got beat 4-1, everyone would have gone, fair enough, club's a mess, whatever. But with him still in charge, it makes it 8 games without a win. 2 points in 8 games, which any manager in the Premier League, and to be honest, any manager in the top 3 leagues in this country would be sacked for. It's just, the fact that he's still in position is just an embarrassment to the club. And what compounds the embarrassment is that if you look through the sports media, going from Sunday night to now, and probably for the next week, the articles aren't going to be, it's time for Rafa Benitez to go. All the articles say, Rafa Benitez is under a bit of pressure. They can't even conceive.
It's not his fault.
They can't even conceive of the idea that Everton fans might actually revolt and say, hang on a minute, like, this is very embarrassing to us. They think our expectations are so low that we will tolerate this. And they're probably right. Yes. At this point, after these many years of very haphazard and destructive stewardship by the owner, they're probably right. Our expectations are low. Like, I've seen a lot of people at the start of the season, again, before a ball was kicked, saying, oh yeah, I, you know, I'll take 15th, 16th. You know, I just take staying up. Like, obviously, I'm not saying we should challenge for top four, but Jesus wept. Like, if you're thinking I would take 16, 15, you're thinking 5 teams in the Premier League below you think of all the teams who will finish above you.
Yeah.
Like, your Southampton and Watford and, like, even Leicester these days and Leeds and Burnley. I mean, which of these teams are you, before a ball is kicked, are you accepting is going to finish above you after 38 games? It's just, it's very, very depressing. It really is, and we deserve better.
I'm going to throw it to Keith now, but I'm going to encourage him not to bring up his binary scale at this point.
There will be no mention of the scale tonight because, like, the scale has ended. But I wouldn't even say our expectations are low. I would say our expectations are basic, right? We, Everton supporters, do apologise, it's just got really, really noisy in the pub, right? Everton supporters have a basic expectation, right, of effort and fight and commitment, right? And we are not seeing any of that from Everton Football Club right now, across the board. We're not seeing it from the players, we're not seeing it from the manager, we're not seeing it from the ones higher up. All we expect, like, we accept, no one expects Everton to be a top club in the country. No one expects Everton to be challenging for titles, etc. All we want is an Everton team that goes on the pitch and fucking scraps for every single ball, right? Now, love him or loathe him, and I agree, I wouldn't have had him back because I think his style is probably passed on now, even though he's doing all right this season with West Ham, right? Love him or loathe him, David Moyes never put an Everton team on the pitch that didn't fight for every fucking pass, every fucking tackle, and every fucking pass, right? He never put a team on the pitch that didn't fight and didn't want to win, right? Since he's left, under Martinez, under Koeman, under Silva, under Allardyce, under Benitez, we have seen Everton teams that have gone out and have not put in one iota of the effort that a Moyes team, a much less talented Moyes team, put in. And that is why we are where we are now, right? And I'm loath to go along with the whole passion shout because it's very simplistic, but it's the very base, it's the very least we expect as a support, as a fan base, the very least we expect as a team that fights. And if you want Goodison to get behind your team, you've got to send them out there to fight for every ball. And they don't do that. And that is why Goodison doesn't get behind them. And can you blame us as a support for not getting behind a team that won't put in this effort?
Mate, we've been battered, haven't we, for years now?
Let's be honest, right? I said this with Moyes and Rob on Kickabout the other week, right? Under Moyes, we had players who were never on the highest of wages. They never had the biggest contracts, right? But they wanted the biggest contract, so they fucking scrapped for the chance to be picked up on a bigger contract, right? Everton Football Club now hand out 5-year, 1,800 grand a year, whatever, contracts, right? Like fucking toys in a box of cereal, right? Why would you expect a player to throw 100% on the line when he knows he's going to walk home with £5 million a year for doing fuck all? Why are you expecting that from him? Right? They're not even looking for it. Right? With the odd exception, what I will say, right? I'll say the odd exception, Richarlison, right? Richarlison's looking for a bigger club, and fair fucks to him.
Yeah.
Because he deserves it. Because he puts in no less than 100% every week, right? And he'll get a big payday from a bigger club. Fair enough. But the rest of them, your likes of Iwobi and Delph, who's coming at the end of his career, Michael Keane, fucking Townsend, right, fair play to Coleman. Coleman puts an effort in, but he's like coming to the end of his career.
Alan's another one, isn't he?
Alan is 29 years old and he's fucking moving towards retirement. He's had his big payday, so he's given up, right? How do you get a team like that to push to be better? You don't. You fucking don't, right? Brentford last week were 1-0 down and he played Rondon for 90 minutes and never brought on one of the young lads off the bench who would have come on, right? They might not be as talented as Rondon. I mean, that's being very fucking generous to Rondon, right? They might not be as talented, but I guarantee they would have come on, they would have chased every fucking ball down. At least. Matt's having a bad time
here.
Right,
yeah.
I think we're going to have to wrap this up so we can give Matt a big... guys, thank you very much for listening. We're all going to have a big hug, right?
Do you want to do the sign-off? Go on.
That's a lot of pressure, right? Thank you very much for listening to this week's post-match. We'll be back with you during the week with some more... some more subscription podcasts.
Kick about
will be coming up. We'll have the mailbag at the weekend. Guys, hang in there. It has to get better. I promise it has to get better. I'm Keith Tomlin. I've been joined this week by Matthew Jones, Matthew Flusk and Mark Mosey. Thank you very much for listening to the post-match reaction to Everton's latest disaster. I love you all. Take solace in your loved ones and please pray that it gets better. Up the Toffees, God bless you all.
With the new Chevy Silverado, you might be driving in this. But with the Silverado's redesigned interior and large infotainment screens, it'll feel more like this. Introducing the new 2022 Chevy Silverado. Find new upgrades. Find new roads. Chevrolet.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.